I want you to open your Bibles with me to the book of 2 Corinthians. I'm going to speak this morning from five verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now my title is this, Be Ye Reconciled to God. Be ye reconciled. Put down your rebellion. Put up your sword. Lay down your shotgun. Surrender unconditionally to God. To His will, to His way, to His word. Quit struggling. Quit struggling. Submit. Brother Barnard said one time years ago that word in John 1:12, but as many as received him, that word was submit, surrender. You receive Christ when you submit to Christ, when you absolutely, unconditionally give it up. Lay down your weapons of warfare and surrender. And that's what this message is all about. Be you reconciled to God. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God. These all things that have become new are of God, not of the man, but of God, who hath reconciled us to himself. God reconciled us first to himself. God loves us by Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus, because of Christ Jesus. Not imputing their trespasses, and hath given us, verse 18, the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, the word to wit is namely, that God was in Christ reconciling, not just the Jew, but the Gentile and the Jew, unto himself, the world, every tribe, kindred, nation, tongue, people. Not charging, imputing, reckoning our sins and trespasses unto us, but unto Christ. And he hath committed to us, he hath given to us or put upon us this word of reconciliation. Now then, we're ambassadors for Christ. If God speaks to you, he'll speak through an ambassador, through a man. We have this treasure in earthen vessel, but we have it. We are ambassadors for Christ. It is as though God himself did beseech you by us, through our message, through our word. God speaks to you. So we pray you in the very stead of Jesus Christ. Be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made Christ to be sin for us who knew, Christ knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now it says in verse 17, if any man be in Christ, four important words here. Four important words, any man. If any man, that's universal, young or old, anybody, preacher or elder, pulpit or pew, if any man, male or female, if any man, anybody here, anybody out yonder, if anybody, this is true of anybody. Look at the next two words, is in Christ, not in the church, but if anybody's in Christ. Not in religion, But if anybody's in Christ, not in the correct doctrine, but in Christ, if any man, if any son of Adam is in Christ, if any man's in his kingdom, translated from darkness to the kingdom of God's dear Son, if any man's in the body of Christ, if any man is in the bride of Christ, if any man is in the sheepfold, Christ said, "My sheep hear my voice. Other sheep I have. I love my sheep. I lay down my life for the sheep." What Paul is saying here, if any human being, if he truly, absolutely is in Jesus Christ, in Christ by God's grace, in Christ's eternal covenant, in Christ by Holy Spirit regeneration, if he's in Christ, if he's in Christ, if he's not in Christ, he's out of Christ. He can be in the church and not in Christ. He can be in religion, not in Christ. He can be in the right form or doctrine, not be in Christ. But if any man's in Christ by covenant mercies, by Holy Spirit calling, he called us in Christ. By faith, if any man's in Christ by faith, listen to the declaration. He is. He doesn't say he ought to be or might be or will be someday. He is now a new creature. He is of this moment a new creature. He is a new creature, a new creation. This word describes a creation work. It's not of man, it's of God. He is a new creature. He is a new being. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Man had something to do with this born in the flesh. He planted the seed. She gave birth to the baby. Man didn't have a thing in this world to do with this new creation. It's of God. He's a new creature. He's a new creation. To as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become sons of God, which were born, not of fleshly inheritance, natural generation, human blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man. They're born of God, born of the water, the word, and the spirit. See, this describes a new person. That's what it says. If any man, anybody, doesn't matter who it is, if he's in Christ, he's a new person. He has a new nature. Turn to Ephesians 4 and listen to what this says over here. Ephesians 4. He's a new, if he's in Christ, this is synonymous with being in Christ. Ephesians 4, verse 22. Listen to it. That you put off, Ephesians 4, 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. Natural man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. This old nature, this old man, is flesh. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And flesh is corrupt. In the flesh, no man can please God. And Paul says, put off this old man. Mortify him. Put him down. Subdue him. Correct him. Quit giving in to him. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created. Who created him? God did. Which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Holiness of truth. This is a new man. Look at Colossians 3. And that says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He is a new person, new man. Colossians 3, verse 8. Listen. But now, you also, put off all these. Be done with these things. Anger. Wrath. Malice. Blasphemy. Filthy talk. Filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another. Seeing you put off the old man with his deeds. That's that natural man, that old man. And you put on the new man. That's that new creature. which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. He did what? He created him. Back to the text, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, declaration, if any man, doesn't matter who it is, if any man is in Christ, well, I'm in the church, I am too. Been in the church since I was 4 years old. But I'm in religion. I am too. Been in religion since I was 4 years old. But I'm in the right doctrine. I'm a Calvinist. I am too. That didn't put me in Christ. God put me in Christ by covenant mercies and grace, by regeneration, by faith. And if I'm in Christ, I'm a new creation, new person. Well, I've got an old nature. Reminded of it too often, too frequently. But I've got a new nature, a new man. And he says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Or what's this? Old things are passed away. What are these old things? What are some of the old things that have passed away? The old way of life, which serves self, self. The natural man loves himself. He's dedicated to himself, having his way, my way. I think we got a song that way. I'll do it my way. And that's what got me. Every time I ever get in trouble, that's the reason. Doing it my way. Inconsiderate, unaffectionate, my way, my rights. Well, that's passed away. Look not on your own things, but on the things of others. In what order? Well, the gospel's first. The glory of Christ is first. And the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is second. What's good for the church? What's good for my gospel, my Lord? What's good for the church? My family is third. What's good for my family? You mean church comes before your family? Absolutely. Absolutely. This is my family. I'm not going to bring reproach on you, the Lord willing. And then my family, and then my friends are forth. Where are you? I tell you, the more you're in Christ, the further back you are. The more you grow in grace, further back you go. You get demoted. That's right now. That's right. And if you're not being demoted, you're not being saved. That's just all there are to it. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And the old way of self is put down, the old religion. The old religion, the old form, the old legal righteousness is gone. It's gone. The old companions. You know, I know some of you have these class reunions. I don't get a thing out of them. I went to one time. Those old, and my, I picked up a phone the other day, I think I told you about it. It was a fella that was with me in the Navy on board ship in 1944. He said, we're going to have a reunion. I said, a reunion? He said, yeah, all those old shipmates are going to get together. I don't need those guys. I don't need that. We don't have anything. What are we going to talk about? What are we going to talk about? What fellowship does darkness have with light? Not a bit in this world. I don't need to get with a bunch of drunks to have a good time. The old companions, the old acquaintances, the old desire for worldly honor. Paul said, here's my desire that I may win Christ and be found in him. That's the new man. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. The fellowship of his suffering. Oh, old things have passed away. Now watch this. And all things have become new. In this new creation, I know the Lord Jesus doesn't reform the flesh or sanctify the flesh. He doesn't even use anything pertaining to the flesh. Everything becomes new. I can't explain that. But I just know it's so. If any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. And these old things have passed. What he once loved, he hates. What he once hated, he now loves. What he once enjoyed, he no longer enjoys. That's right. All things become new. You've got a new nature, a new heart, a new family, new direction, new principles, new attitude, new companions, new direction, new doctrine, new life, new country, new home, new kingdom. It's just new. All things become new. And I'll tell you this. Turn to 1 Corinthians 2 a moment. Hold my text, and I want to show you something over here. And I want to explain something to you. You see, before I read 1 Corinthians 2, let me show you something. The natural man can understand free will religion. No problem. You talk to him about God wants to do this and God wants to do that, and he's waiting for your cooperation. He can understand that. God and I'll swap off. I'll give him my service and he'll give me heaven. I'll give him my life and he'll give me a reward. I'll give him this and he'll give me that. We'll trade off. God and I'll trade off. A man can understand that. Reform and do better. He understand that. That's the natural man's religion. But I'll tell you something else. A natural man can understand sovereignty and election. The Jews did. Isn't that right, John? The old Israel. They knew God was sovereign. They saw him do those things, divide the sea. They saw that. They saw him turn the water to blood. They saw him rain hail, fire. They saw him put the firstborn to death. They saw him put banner on the earth. They saw him give his mercies to Israel and pass by the rest of the world. They saw him elect Israel. They believed in sovereignty. They believed in election. They believed in particular election. And a natural man can understand that. You convert a man from free willism to Calvinism, you hadn't helped him one bit. And helped him one bit. He's just got another refuge. Here's what men cannot understand. It's true salvation. It's the true miracle of life. It's a salvation whereby God, in his sovereignty and in his elective grace and in his particular sufficient atonement, redeems a people. And yet by his Spirit, he makes them willing to follow him, willing to call on him, willing to seek him, willing to come to him as if they did every bit of it themselves. That's right. Willing. That's right, isn't it, Cecil? They're willing. They're willing. God chose me, but I chose him too. Oh, he enabled me to. But I didn't know he was doing the enabling. I chose Jesus Christ. When I heard this message of grace, I said, that's it. You see, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Sure, God gives him a heart and enables him to. Sure, God gives him the knowledge to confess. But he does it. And he does it willingly. And he does it lovingly. And he does it on purpose. That's right. And you can't explain that to nobody. That's the reason men get up and preach logic and not Christ. That's the reason they're trying to be consistent. They're trying to be consistent with their doctrine. Spurgeon said one time, don't try to be consistent with yourself. If you try to be consistent with yourself, when you die, you'll find out you've been consistent with a fool. It doesn't matter whether you understand it. If God said it, believe it. Believe it. Preach it. God told that man with the withered hand to stretch forth his hand, didn't he? Christ told him to stretch. He said, now if he had been a good Calvinist like today, or one of us been standing by, we'd say, he can't stretch forth his hand. He couldn't, but he did. Our Lord told that man lying on the bed 38 years and ended to pick up his bed and walk. And you know something? He did it. He absolutely did it. The man picked up his bed, but he couldn't do it. Yes, he can. With the command comes the ability. And now you can't teach that to anybody. Look at 1 Corinthians 14, or 12, or 2. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14. 1 Corinthians 2, 14. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Now, he'll receive the natural things. He'll receive doctrine. He'll receive preaching. He'll receive all these things. But he'll receive instruction. He'll receive correction, but he won't receive the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. They're inconsistent. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually understood. And he that is spiritual, he that's a new creature, he understandeth all things. Yet, he himself is understood of no one. These things, look at my text again. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He's a new creation, new person. And these old things have passed away, and they just keep passing away, and they keep being mortified, and they keep being put down, and they keep being forsaken. They keep on. The battle's never over, and all things have become new. And look at verse 18. And all these things are of God. They are of God. I am what I am by the grace of God. They're of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you this, and don't be angry with me, but if God dwells in a man, the grace and mercy and love of God dwells in that man. Let me show you that old 1 John. See, this is of God. Our text says if any man's in Christ, he's a new creation. And old things have passed away and all things become new. And these all things are of God. There's a new attitude. There's a new conduct. There's a new conversation. There's a new grace and new love. And that's of God. What did Paul say one time? He said, I labored more abundantly than any of you. Yet not I, but Christ in me. Christ in me. That's the reason. Well, let's look at 1 John 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God. That's, in other words, all things are of God. If any man has the capacity to love, God gave it to him. Isn't that what he's saying? Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth, he's born of God. He's a new creature. He's a new creation. He's born of God. God Almighty enabled him to love, for God is love. This man knows God. Look at verse 12. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us. If anybody here loves anybody, it's because God dwells in him. You don't have of your own self the ability to love anybody but yourself unless God dwells in you. If we love one another, God dwells in us. If we don't love one another, God doesn't dwell in us. Isn't that correct? Now then, that's what I'm saying. And his love is perfecting us. Look at verse 13. Hereby know we that we dwell in him. And he in us. How can you know that? Because he's given us of his Spirit. And we've seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Now, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him. And he dwells in God. He's in Christ. What's John saying? Same thing Paul is. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. God dwells in him, and he dwells in God. If he's in God, he's a new creature. If he's not a new creature, he ain't in God. If he loves, God dwells in him. If he doesn't love, he's a stranger to God. Now listen, if we forgive one another, it's God dwelling in us. And we forgive one another by his grace. If we do not forgive one another and cannot forgive one another, God doesn't dwell in us. Because God forgives. That's true. If he's in Christ, he is a new person. Listen, if we're caring to one another and forgiving one another and strive for unity in the home, in the church, it's Christ in us. And if we don't do those things, Christ is not in us. And we're not in Christ. That's what this says. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and we dwell in God. If we don't love one another, let's don't claim to be in God. Let's claim to be in the church or in religion or in whatever we... Whatever. It doesn't make any difference. Don't claim to be in God, because God is love. God is... Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God for Christ's sake forgave you. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. That's not being hard. That's being so and truthful. If we're generous, if we're faithful, if we're supportive of the church and the gospel, if we're hunger and thirst for righteousness, it's not I that do that. It's Christ in me. It's God in us. All things are of God. See that? Look at that text again. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. These old things have passed away. Behold, there's some new things. All things have become new. And these things are of God. That's where he got the love. That's where he got the power to forgive. That's where he got the grace to live. That's where he got the grace to walk. That's where he got the grace and mercy that he shows. It's God in him. It's God in him. It's not I. It's Christ in me. There's no doctrine, no matter how true it is, that'll save apart from repentance and faith. Except you repent, you'll perish. Except you be converted and become as little children, you're never going to enter the kingdom of God. That's what our Lord said. You're never going to see the kingdom of God. Except you be converted. Well, why does God give me these things and you? Why does has he done this for you? Verse 18 says, he did it reconciling us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. I tell you, any time God saves an old son of Adam, it's no accident. If God's done a work of grace in you and for you and upon you, it wasn't an accident. He did it on purpose. I'll show you that in John 1. Look, turn to John 1, verse 47. This is so interesting here. John 1, 47. Oh boy, I like this. In John 1:47, John 1:47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and he said of him. He must have said it to the other disciples. He pointed to Nathanael, and he said, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there's no guile. And Nathanael said unto him, whence knowest thou me? Whence knowest thou me? Where did you know me before? And our Lord said to him, listen, before Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Before you ever heard the gospel, before Philip ever called you, before you ever came around me, I knew you. I knew you way back then. My Lord can look at you this morning, Tom, and say, you say, whence knowest thou me? I knew you before your mother's womb. God who separated me from my mother's womb called me by his grace. I knew you. Whence knowest thou me? Nathanael, I've always known you. Now he said to some people, I never knew you. They're going to say at the judgment, we preached and we cast out devils. We did many wonderful. I never knew him. See, all these things are of God, who reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. And he's given to us this ministry of reconciliation. That's what I'm preaching. Namely, here it is. Here it is. This is the message. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. And that word world doesn't mean every single human being. It can't. It doesn't, never has. It means the world of sinners. It means sinners of all over the world. It means every tribe, kindred, nation, tongue under heaven. You know that. And how did he reconcile? He didn't charge our sins to us. He charged them to Christ. Christ bore them and died for them. Look at the last verse, 21. I'm coming back to verse 20 in a moment. Verse 21. For three persons here. He hath made him, Christ, to be sin for us. God the Father, in his holiness, justice, and righteousness, made Christ the Son, the God-man, to be sin for us. Christ knew no sin. He had no sin. And God did this, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now then, verse 20. Now then. Now then. It's crunch time. It's cost counting time. Now then. Now then. Now then. Paul says, I'm an ambassador for Jesus Christ. And God, it is as though God did speak this morning to this congregation by us. I pray you in Christ's stead. I command you, if you hope to share in his glory and to share in his mercies, you be reconciled to God. God's not angry. God loves you. God's embraced you. God in Christ has forgiven you. God, apart from any response on your part at all, has reconciled you with the death of his Son. For he was made sin who knew no sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God's reconciled. There's no enmity. There's no quarrel. God forgives us. I have forgiveness for my past, present, and future sins. Everything I think and do that's contrary to God, he's already forgiven me. He loves me in Christ. He exists in the Beloved. He's forgiven me. I'm already seated at the right hand of God. There's no enmity. Now you're misbehaving. You have quarrels among you. You're not acting like a new creature. You're murmuring against God. You're finding fault with his divine providence. He's put you, you bloom where you are, somebody said. I'm here. Lay down my shotgun. Put up my sword. And fall down before Christ. And quit yowing and carrying on and causing trouble and dividing people and hurting folks and acting like a reprobate. Paul said, I bring my body into subjection, lest preaching to others I become a reprobate. Now you lay down your shotgun. You be reconciled to God. And I'll tell you this. About every quarrel that I have is not against me, and it's against God. That's right, it's against God. When you young people obey your parents in the Lord, when you're bucking your mother or father or school teacher or somebody in authority, you know what you're doing? You're bucking God. You don't like where God's put you. You don't like what God's given to you. You don't like the responsibility God has given to you. You don't like the place God's put you. And you're taking it out on the one next to you. Isn't that right? If I don't like my lot in life, who gave me my lot in life? God did. And no use me getting mad at the deacons or the elders. Or anybody else. My home, my marriage, my wife, God gave her to me. My children, God gave them to me. And I'm not going to cast them off. They're my responsibility. Some people wonder why Brother Man doesn't love marriages. Because people lie. They lie to God. They lie to me. And I don't like to be lied to. I don't like for God to be lied to. And they stand in front of me and they say they're going to be faithful to death. Do them part. They're lying. Because just as soon as things don't go the way they want them to go, they bust it up and leave. God put you there. And any rebellion that I have against any person, I'm rebelling against God Almighty. Be reconciled to God. Lay down your sword and lay it down. Now then, lay down your sword. Yeah, but he did. It doesn't matter. She said, it doesn't matter. But things aren't going. Who runs things? He does. If he wants it different, he'll make it different. But you stay where you are, he changes it. Isn't that right? Am I telling the truth? I'm telling the truth. I know truth, people. Same people like truth. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And he'll listen. Everybody here this morning that's in Christ will say, the preacher's right. He's absolutely right. I may not like you, but he's right. He's speaking for God. And I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to surrender. Not to the preacher. He's going to surrender with me. But we're going to surrender to God. My pastor and I are going to surrender to God. We're going to say, even so, Father, it seemed good in thy sight. If I'm sick, okay, I'll take it. If I'm this or that or the other, I'm going to take it. I'm going to bloom where I am. I'm going to thank God for what I have. I'm going to be reconciled. Because he reconciled me. Boy, if God can love me, it looks like I could love others, doesn't it? Woo, my goodness. If he could forgive me. How can you not forgive? How can you? It's like that fellow that the man forgave him of that big debt and he went out and choked the fellow and owed him a quarter. How can you do it? I tell you how you can't. You're not in Christ. If a man's in Christ, he forgives. He acts like it. Oh, he'll flare up, but he'll flare down pretty fast too when he sees you. Isn't that right? Is that true? Be ye reconciled to God. Now, that's somebody. Don't go out and say, well, Brother Mahan's preaching like a free willer. No, I'm preaching like a man whose will's been set free by God. If I have any freedom, it's the freedom of Christ. If I have any liberty, it's to serve Christ. If I have any liberty, it's to do his will. I don't have any liberty to do my will. I'm free in Christ. Isn't that right? And I'm a responsible person. I'm responsible. God's going to hold me accountable. I want to be a good steward of the grace of God, don't you? I do so much. So I'm more and more all the time. I want to be a good steward of the grace of God. So I say to you, be reconciled to God. It's all right. Cry. Bow down. Repent. Be reconciled to God. And no happiness bucking him, is there? And we don't live to ourselves. I'll do what I want to do. Oh, you're going to touch a lot of lives. You're going to hurt a lot of people. Don't you care? Don't do that. All right, Mike, come lead us in a hymn, if you will.